Well, on the heels of Pentecost, the day when we celebrate the last person of the Trinity with the Holy Spirit, the church celebrates Trinity Sunday, the day when we explore all three persons of the Trinity in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, traditionally, the rector invites the associate or invites a guest preacher to stand in the pulpit on what many call Heresy Sunday. You can go ahead and mark one on your heresy tally sheet, as I'm obviously breaking with tradition by preaching today. Today is often called Heresy Sunday because you can't really explain the Trinity for more than a sentence without committing some kind of ancient heresy. The temptation, after all, is to try to explain the Trinity in such a way where you get it. Well, I have news. There's no getting the Holy Trinity. There's only experiencing God in Trinity of Persons. Now, I think preachers would do well to take a cue from the Nicene Creed when preaching today. The Nicene Creed is one of the first documents drafted by the Universal Church, formulated exactly 1,700 years ago in 325. The Nicene Creed reflects the faith of a church that previously operated underground for the first three centuries. For 300 years, there was no formal institution called the church. Rather, the church was made up of small groups of Christians littered throughout the land. They operated underground for fear of persecution. These small groups had little or no contact with each other, and they had different ideas about God and the Bible. So when Roman Emperor Constantine legalized Christianity in 313, these different ideas about God and the Bible were brought to light. And so the church did what it has done for the last 1,700 years when complicated issues need to be addressed. They appointed a committee and they had a meeting. The meeting was called the Council of Nicaea. The result was the Nicene Creed, and it describes God using a Trinitarian formula. Now, we Episcopalians, we believe the Nicene Creed reflects the essentials of our faith. Ultimately, the Creed reflects our experience with one God in three persons. We experience God through the Father, or the Divine Parent. We experience God through Jesus, or the Son. We experience God through the Holy Spirit, or the Advocate. And yet, when we experience God through the Son, we are also experiencing God through the Father and the Spirit. Now, this doctrine of the Trinity tries to put into words a concept that is beyond words. It's hard to turn a page in the New Testament where all three persons of the Trinity are not named in some form or fashion. If you look at our two lessons from the New Testament today, all three persons are right there. It wasn't explicitly stated, but as we reflect back, we see how the Trinity is alive in the Scriptures. So the question becomes, how do we use this doctrine? Why is it important? Do we use it to try to explain our faith, or do we use it to proclaim our faith? Ultimately, the Nicene Creed doesn't really try to explain the Trinity. Rather, the Creed simply proclaims or defines God in Trinity of Persons. While there's certainly a time and a place to explain our faith or even defend our faith, explanations and defenses can often turn into arguments that are really less about witnessing to an all-loving and all-faithful and all-knowing God and more about defending our fragile egos and self-image. I'll be the first to admit that I sometimes am quick to take the bait and get drawn into these arguments that really only divide. I believe the church is more effective in her witness to the gospel when it worries less about explaining God and more about praising God. For centuries, the Anglican Communion, of which we are a part, has resisted making any official statements or confessions of faith outside these ancient creeds. Rather, we've rested on the idea that our theology or our doctrine is best articulated through our prayer book and our praise of God. While doctrine has its place, doctrine is more concerned with talking about God, whereas prayer and praise are more concerned with talking with and to God. In one sense, doctrine is static, unmoving, while prayer is fluid and ongoing, relational. If we aren't careful, we can turn doctrine into an idol where we begin to worship the doctrine instead of the one whom the doctrine points. Using doctrine alone to get to know God can tempt us into believing that we've got it all sorted out, right? It's right there in the book on a piece of paper. But how can we pretend to have it all sorted out when there's no end to God? How can we mortals dare to think we completely understand an eternal God? Today's lesson from John suggests that we will never stop growing in the truth of God. Jesus tells his followers that there are certain things that they just can't understand right now. But he goes on to tell them that the Spirit will lead them into all truth. Likewise, there are plenty of things that we can't understand right now. But we too have that faith that the Spirit will lead us into all truth. In other words, the revelation of God's Word does not end with the last book of the Bible. Rather, the revelation of God's Word is ongoing through the power of the Spirit. As Episcopalians, we believe this revelation can be discerned through the teachings of the church and our own God-given intellect, with the Scriptures being the foundation. In the end, we aren't saved by understanding God better. Rather, we are saved by growing in the knowledge and love of God for us and for the whole world. We are saved by learning to trust that God holds us close with that love, even when the world around us is falling apart. And this knowledge and this trust comes through a relationship with the God who created us, redeemed us, and sustains us. The Trinity seeks to explain that ours is a relational faith. One biblical commentator describes it like this: the Trinity casts a vision of God as deeply, irreducibly relational. The one God is constituted by three ongoing relationships. And if human beings are created in the image of God, then in our own way, we must fundamentally be relational too. So while doctrine is important, it helps us organize incredibly complex ideas. Doctrine provides a frame of reference. Doctrine does its best to put into words concepts that are beyond words. However, doctrine can tempt us into believing that a life of faith is neat and orderly. And we know that's not always the case. Our life of faith is worked out through the messiness of a relationship with God and each other. As Tim Keller, a pastor, deceased pastor, once wrote, "People are messy, relationships are messy, expect messiness." Ultimately, a relationship with the God of faith, hope, and love is the one who can help us find meaning and direction and purpose in the messiness of life. So while we may never fully get the triune God, I pray that we learn to trust that the triune God gets us. We are sinners in need of redemption. We are broken and in need of healing. We are sheep and in need of a shepherd. So may God's name be praised, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.